Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am ecstatic to introduce you to Kyle Mishulis of Slashdong, who's going to talk to us about sex and technology. Hello, Kyle.
Hi.
So there's breaking news in sex and technology stuff, and you broke it to me. Will you break it to the nice folks?
Yeah. So over the holiday weekend, or at least the U.S. holiday weekend, there was a new article posted by a maker in here in San Francisco named Beth. If you go to her blog, it's scanlime.com, S-C-A-N-L-I-M-E.com. She just posted a project where she took one of the fairly popular Lalo remote controlled vibrators and hacked it so it works with her own Arduino based controller. And what that means is, instead of just having the more power, less power buttons that weren't really interesting to her, she can now build new and interesting interfaces. She actually built one that uses sonar range finding, which means that it can detect how far away her hand is from her controller. So instead of hitting buttons, all she has to do is move her hand back and forth to set speeds. And so she posted an article on exactly how to do it. It's completely open source. And that article seems to have set the internet on fire. It trended on both Reddit and Hacker News. And by my very, very, very ballpark calculations, it's probably seen about 250,000 hits right now. So a ton of people interested in the project. It's been really interesting to watch who's interested, how many people are like, let me give you money, start a Kickstarter now, how much complete and ridiculous sexism there is, but hey, it's internet comments, what do you expect? So yeah, it's been a very, very interesting couple of days.
So what is the relevance of this breakthrough that she's made? Like, why is this better than the existing toy in terms of being able to adjust it using more means?
So the problem with toy interfaces in general is that you have to sort of mass market things. Like, you just have to assume that everyone's going to be able to press a button in a certain way. And while that's a decent assumption for business means, in the end usage, lots of different people want to control things in different ways. And especially when you start bringing in physical interfaces like buttons to situations that have naturally occurring involuntary muscle movements like sex, it actually kind of gets difficult to control things. So what we've been looking at more and more in the past few years is, how can we remove actual, like, I have to press a small button and pay attention to what I'm doing, controls from toys and make them more, for lack of a better term, fluid. How can we make it so that control is more intuitive, so that you don't really have to concentrate on it, and that the toy can fit to your form and your needs better than just speed up, speed down?
That's spectacular. And I'm thinking it will also lead to hijinks. I feel I'm like, the first thing that comes to mind is, if you can wave your hand over something and make a vibrator go significantly faster, like the possibilities for office pranks, like, there's no end.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I mean, there is an instant amount of humor that comes out of any new sex technology.
and there's a whole lot of emerging technology in the field of teledildonics, especially. So can you give a brief explanation of teledildonics to the folks?
So teledildonics is a phrase that was created in the mid-70s by a man named Ted Nelson, the same man that gave us virtuality, hyperlink, and many, many other terms. The original term means sexual intercourse or interaction through remote means. So basically, someone somewhere has a vibrator, and someone somewhere else, be it through computer or phone or telegraph or whatever else, is controlling it, but they are not geographically local to each other. That is teledildonics.
And how accessible is that right now to the average person? Yep. Can you buy stuff like that?
Yeah, you've been able to buy stuff on the consumer market since about 1996. So the problem with the teledildonics toy market is twofold. First off, most people don't know where to find these things. They're scared to go into a sex toy store, an actual physical one, and buy a simple vibrator, much less getting online, doing the research to find out which toy does what, how it'll work for them, and then spend upwards of $150, $200 on it. So that's the first problem. And then the second one is, most people are scared of their computers. Like, they don't really want to install their printer on their computer, much less actually put it near their intimate private parts. So if we can't create interfaces that are comfortable enough to actually use the toys, then no one wants to use them. And comfortable means both interacting with it is nice and you feel like it is a portrayal of you, and that it doesn't take so long to set up and take down that it's just longer than the act itself. And those are all issues that we're dealing with at the moment and that we aren't very good at yet.
That is a very valid point. I mean, I'm thinking about like how long it takes to even do little stuff like make sure, because I definitely recommend just on basic vibrators that you keep the batteries outside of them to make them last longer, and how that can be like a big pain in the ass. Like, where do I have it? Okay, I found two of the double A's. Where's the third one, etc.
Yeah.
And then I can only imagine the rigmarole of like hooking. Are you hooking into a USB? I'm not even sure how this is going to work. Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to get the hardware working, you have to get the software working, you have to get it connected to the other person on the other side via whatever network you're going to use, you have to make sure that network is stable. Like, there's so much that goes into, okay, I want to have sex now, to, okay, I am having teledildonic sex, that it's prohibitive to even those of us that are just complete nerds.
So what are some of the best options that are out there now in terms of minimal hassle?
There aren't really a ton, actually. Toys come and go quite a bit just because no one's really settled on the business model that will keep them alive for a while. For men, there's an interesting toy called the Real Touch, which synchronizes with movies. So basically, the best way I've found to put it, which is completely unsexy, is it's basically a double latex belt sander. So think of it like latex tank treads, and you put your penis in it, and it actually has heating pads and lube injection too. And so those tank treads move back and forth, synchronized with a movie. So like as you're watching some sort of porno or whatever else, it will actually mirror the movement on screen.
So it's like you're the dude in the video.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So they've been doing that for about 3 years. They were using a streaming model where you actually paid per minute. It didn't work too well for them. About 3 months ago, they actually released a thing called the Real Touch Interactive, which is the female side of the Real Touch. So it is basically a dildo with sensors in it that have pressure, depth, things like that. So it can map that information in real time to control the toy on the other end. So you can actually have a cam model or someone like that now using that Real Touch Interactive toy and controlling someone else's Real Touch toy. It's interesting because right now that's the Real Touch Interactive toy, the dildo portion of it, is not available to the public. It's only available to cam models, but cam models are allowed to set their own prices. It's kind of interesting to watch like how much each act with this toy costs and how people are setting different prices, what they're catering to, so on and so forth.
What does it cost? I'm curious. Take my money. No, how much does it cost, actually? Like if I wanted a blowjob from the woman on the TV screen, like what would I expect to pay for that?
Anywhere between $15 and $100. It just depends on the model. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like the models come in all shapes and sizes. It's not something that is dictated specifically by Real Touch or AEV and their content partner. It's really just, hey, you're a model, you want to use this toy, you have to go through our streaming service, but otherwise it's up to you. So it runs the gamut of both people and prices.
So I have two questions that this immediately come, that this brings to mind for me. And one is that because it's only available for cam models, is the expectation that regular woman wouldn't want to buy this, or is that just currently who it's available to? And then the second part, no, just answer that first. We'll come back to my second question.
Well, they're still beta testing it at the moment. Okay. It's still a fairly new technology, so things aren't super stable with it yet. And also, it's just a revenue stream for them. It's good business sense. If they control the toy and the streaming model, then you have to stream through them, which means the models pay them for the ability to do that. So think of it kind of like an app store model, where it's like, if you don't have an iPhone, you aren't getting the apps, but Apple's getting a little bit of money from those apps. If you don't have a Real Touch, if you have a Real Touch Interactive, but you can only use the Real Touch streaming, so Real Touch is going to get a little bit of that cash. That's really the only reason, I think, right now. And once they go through beta, get this out to cam models, this also makes sure that they don't have to support quite as much, because doing customer support for adult products is interesting. So if they only have a few people on the interactive side that are using it, they can really iron out the kinks, as it were, and then release it to consumers once it's really seen some good testing, so they don't have to worry about getting all sorts of crazy phone calls.
And I'm curious about the legal implications in terms of how, if somebody wanted to call this sex work, I mean, would that be trouble for them? I mean, is that something that, is that an argument somebody could make?
That's a really good question. I'm not sure how the legality of that works, nor how it relates to like the 2257 laws for pornography or anything. So those are, I'm not really sure that's, I mean, I know the, there's been companies before that have done model-based real-time machine control. There's one called VSex, which basically has a fucking machine like you would see on fuckingmachines.com or whatever, that is controllable via a flash widget on the website. So for $7 a minute, you can control that, and it will be used on a real model. But yeah, I haven't seen any cases about that have made it differ from regular web porn at all. I mean, you still have to worry about things like obscenity laws and whatnot, but I don't think it's been tested in court yet, because I just don't think it's been big enough yet.
That's fascinating. And then, I mean, there's so many other things we could extrapolate from there in terms of, like, you know, if somebody uses it electronically from a distance, I mean, like, and somebody doesn't want to, or, you know, like, all, like, I don't know, we're going into less fun places there. But on the more fun angle of it, it seems like the downside of the Real Touch Interactive is that the penis part that the model is holding on to isn't necessarily giving her any reaction. She's doing all of it. Is that?
Yeah, it's a single direction sort of thing. It is a performance toy.
Okay.
There are toys that are both out now and that are hopefully on the way that actually solve that problem. There's a toy called the Mojo Wijo, which was taken from a
that's like the Powerpuff Girls, right? There's like a Powerpuff Girls character with a name very close to that.
That's exactly what I thought. Like, I've like, totally called it the Mojo Jojo before. So it's a Wiimote, actually. So a controller for Nintendo's Wii console. That controller was a wireless controller that you would usually control video games with, but it has special sensors in it that can detect motion. So what they did was they made an encasement for the Wiimote that on the outside of it is either a dildo, or for men, I don't quite know how to explain it. It looks like the hand of a robot from like a 1960s sci-fi movie or something. It's a very weird design. But anyways, so you put the Wiimotes in these toys, and they can detect how you're moving the toy and then send that information through their software to someone else who's using the other toy, and their toy vibrates based on the speed you're using the toy. So, and that goes both directions. And is also not gender specific. So, while there are male and female toys, that's just basically them covering the market. Which you control which with, they don't care.
And then there's similarly the Love Pals. Is that the one that has the Hera and Zeus models?
Yeah, Love Pals is new. They've only really been around for about a month and a half, 2 months now. And by around, I mean in the media. Love Pals started by saying that Kickstarter rejected their project, which is a dubious claim. I actually emailed Kickstarter to ask if there was any sort of rejection, and I got no comment back from them. But it's a great way to get some press to say, hey, we got kicked off Kickstarter. Give us some money. So anyways, Love Pals is a similar set of toys where there's a male and a female and they talk to each other. How they work, I'm not exactly sure about yet. They claim that there's going to be pressure and depth sensors in the female toy and some sort of pressure sensor in the male toy. But from all of the videos I've seen, it looks like they're using air pressure, which has been done before on the first interactive fleshlight, and it sucked. You just can't get proper readings from air pressure. However, that was about 12 years ago, so our technology has gotten better. Anyways, the other interesting thing about Love Pals is their price. They're saying they're going to release it for $49 a toy, which is insanely low. Most of these toys start at $139. The Real Touch goes for $150 to $200 right now. So that's an incredibly ridiculous low price. And I'm interested to see if it comes out at all. And the funny thing is, while that is a low price, they did sell, I believe, or had on sale, 10 24 karat gold toys for $10,000 each. So if you wanted a really special one with a serial number that was also gold, you could order that. But yeah.
I'm curious about the person who needs that. I'm guessing that I don't want them to be on the other end of my toy. That's all I'm guessing.
There's been a really weird spike in luxury toys lately. It all started with Jimmy Jane, who was actually a vibrator startup. They came around a couple of years ago, actually got some funding rounds, and they really tried to inject the idea of luxury into the context of a vibrator. So you had very nice stainless steel with nice curves in it, a decent vibrator motor. They actually had artists decorate them. And so they've actually kind of moved the market to where sexual pleasure can be got through a luxury item, which has changed the market somewhat, which is why we're now seeing, like, well, here's a gold-plated fuck tube. So,
you know, I actually caught a tiny bit of Liz and Dick last night, the Lindsay Lohan film about Elizabeth Taylor. Aside from the that warrants, I believe that based on the fact that Richard Burton outbid Aristotle Onassis for a huge, enormous diamond, I feel like luxury items have been used to get people off for far longer than we have had teledildonics. So,
yes, we're now just losing the subtlety.
Yeah. take out all inference and just make it something you'd actually put into your vagina. Go to town. Mm-hmm. So what got you into this field?
That's an interesting story. I am an recovering robotics engineer, and one day back in 2005 I got bored, like you do, and I for some reason had an Xbox controller, so like a controller for the old Xbox game console, and a extra dildo. And so I was looking at the controller, looking at the dildo, looking at the controller, looking at the dildo, going, wait, why can't the controller can vibrate? Why can't it make the dildo vibrate? So I opened up the controller, pulled out its vibration motors and actually made a little plug where you could hook the dildo in so that anytime the video game made the controller vibrate, it would actually make this dildo vibrate. And so I was like, ha, this is funny. I should post this on the internet. And I did. And the next day, Boing Boing and a whole bunch of other people picked it up. And about a week later, I was being called a world expert in teledildonics. So I just decided to take that and run with it. And here I am 8 years later and kind of actually sort of M somehow. So it was the thing is, it's a really interesting piece of portion of technology to follow because it gets people interested quickly. For instance, when teaching people about engineering, the project that I always use as an example is building a robot to get you a beer, because people think about like, ooh, if you're in robotics, can you build a robot to get me a beer? And there's even books about it and stuff. But the thing is, like, you start with you have no technology experience, but you buy like a book about building robots or whatever. It's going to take you years to get from starting reading that book to actually having the robot bringing you the beer from the fridge. In that time, you are probably going to realize that the beer is easier to get yourself. Yeah. So a lot of these beginning hobby projects and things like that that can stretch on forever, people just kind of realize the end goal isn't really worth the trip there. However, when you bring sex into it and you say, okay, if you build this thing, you will have a different, possibly more interesting, but definitely different orgasm, people stay interested. So it's kind of fun to be able to like harness the brain chemistry of sex to actually get people interested in computer science and mechanical engineering and electrical engineering and all of these things.
I feel like technology has been led by sex in many ways. I mean, like the rise of HD video, the rise of many forms of video, the fact that we could buy videos and take them home and not go to a theater to see them.
So rewinding before that, I mean, some of the first films, some of the first photography, some of our first art is pornographic. So it certainly drives technology, but we usually think about that in the creation of technological forms. No one was really thinking about it as, let's use it to teach people technology. And that's kind of what I've taken. That's where Slashdong has gone. It's less look at the stupid project and more here's how your vibrator works. Here's how you could program it, and then doing a stupid project on top of that to con people into actually learning all of this stuff.
Ha-ha. You learned things you didn't mean to. Haha. Now you know stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And it works surprisingly well. I've gotten lots of emails over the years of, wow, I never knew that. Now I'm having better sex and I know something about engineering. And that's just awesome.
And it seems like there's toys for men and women pretty evenly. I mean, the Real Touch Interactive has like a pretty obvious like lean in utility. But the application for vibrators is definitely genderless. Are there any other that are specifically for women?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of vibrators that sort of like formed the curves of a woman's pelvis or mm-hmm. something like that. And obviously women are not going to use prostate massagers, or I'm not going to say not, but will not derive the same joy. people are, in terms of gender and vibrators, it exists far more in marketing than it does in the actual form of the toy these days. If you look at the marketing of people like Oh My Bod and Lalo and people like that, the colors, the forms they use, things like that are very marketed toward a female demographic, even though vibrators are totally usable by guys. The problem with vibrators is that they're usually seen as also insertable. And so guys are completely put off that, because if you get anything near that realm, then they're instantly gay. And oh my God, society will fall. So so it's more of a marketing problem than it is a gender problem or actual gender formation problem these days.
Yeah, I saw how you had written that the Vibes marketing was violently heteronormative in their words.
Oh God. Vibes is really interesting. I have given them hell since they started and they just keep going. And honestly, I really kind of respect them for that. Mainly because I will admit that I moved to San Francisco 6 years ago and I have definitely picked up that Bay Area. What do you mean it's not open to everyone? feeling. However, I do hail from the Midwest. So I have sort of an understanding of, okay, do I want to sell this product to just people in the Bay Area, or do I actually want this to be a worldwide product? Vibes hails from Singapore. So they have a completely different look on the marketing of sex toys than we do here in the U.S. And it really shows through their marketing. I mean, it's very much marketed to guys to buy for their wives, not girlfriends, wives. And they talk about how it helps long-distance relationships for men and their wives, and how – oh, they also use a lot of weird scientific terms. Like they really like to talk about how women never have orgasms and they use the word clitoris constantly, which is really off-putting. It just sounds cold. It's like weird heteronormative combined with cold science. And what's interesting is they are going the startup route. They are showing up at startup competitions like Disrupt and some of the like web startup competitions, basically places where you go to talk to angel investors and VCs about getting money. Not really many sex companies have done that before. I mean, Jimmy Jane didn't got a funding round, but most people are just like, we aren't even going to try that route. It's just too risky. And VCs and angels, they don't really want to talk about it in public, but they're kind of looking to give out cash now. So it's going to be interesting to see if Vibes, with their difference in marketing and difference in viewpoint and not really going for like the porn side of things like RealTouch did, can actually pull seed funding for this. And if they do, I mean, really the first person to pull seed funding and get a product out, a hardware product out for sex, is really going to change the market.
And I feel like a lot of this really could be different if they were international, if they could. I mean, they're currently Singapore based, and my understanding of Singapore sexology comes from Dr. Martha Lee, writes for my website, and she writes on the restrictive nature of their laws all the time. So it could actually be that they're limited in their marketing because of where they are, and if they were an international company and they could be based out of someplace else, they could change that. It's very possible.
The thing is, I've talked to their founder, and it doesn't really seem like he wants to. Like, he's very much behind his brand and behind his message. Mm-hmm. And like I said, while I originally kind of railed on that and was like, how could you even do that? It's interesting to watch. It's a new tactic I hadn't really thought about. And at the end of the day, too, anyone that gets hardware out onto the market is good for me, because what I do is I take this hardware, I reverse engineer it, I write my own software for it, and then I give that back to the community. Because at the end of the day, you can market all that you want to certain demographics, but if your toy works a certain way that works for certain people you aren't marketing to, it should work for it. If it can work, it should work. And that's really what I'm in this for, is to make it so that people can use whatever toy they want, however they want, through whatever content or physical usage or whatever. Like, if it works, it should work for everyone. And that's a horrible business model, but that's why I'm not in the business.
you're like the Robin Hood of sex toys. Oh, that's delightful. I love it. So has this worked out for you in your personal life, this devotion to making sex better and freer for the world?
Weirdly enough, it's sort of driven my career. I mean, like I said, I moved from the Midwest to San Francisco, obviously. Not really many other places to go with this background. I don't really work in it as my day job because it's a weird market. Things go things go in cycles. So there were, like, the year before this, there weren't many new toys out. This year, there's tons of new toys. I do some consulting and things like that. But really, what it's kind of taught me personally is just seeing how people interact with technology in a completely new way. How can we make toys that people will be comfortable with on a computer? And is there, it's a really interesting way of looking at user interaction and user interface, which is usually a fairly boring topic. So it's really sort of influenced how I work and, how I see technology now, which has been really cool. As to if I actually use any of the toys, not particularly. That's the funny part. I'm like, I guess you could say that I really do get off on the engineering. Like, the thing that really gets me going mentally and from there physically is just the idea of being able to take these toys and do anything with them and make other people happy with them. That's the really cool part. That's the fun part. So I'm not really in it for any personal, like, fetish or kink or anything else. It's just fun to do and to help others.
Oh, that's so lovely. That's so heartwarming. You're like, no, I do it so you can get off. Aw. You're going to get beatified. That's delightful.
Well, and it also means I get some of the most interesting emails of anyone I know.
I can imagine. So I had another question about porn, like, separate from toys. So 3D porn, is that... Is it a real thing? I mean, I remember there was the movie that came out in China, and then I never heard anything ever again.
I mean, we've had 3D porn before that. Okay. I mean, just like the basic red-blue glasses stuff has been around since the 50s or 60s, or really since we've been able to do that with film or photography. So the idea of 3D porn with current digital film technologies is fairly new, and it's starting to happen more. The question is it worth it? Because right now we're still trying to figure out, is HD porn worth it? Do you really want to see that much?
Because that's kind of the appeal of porn, is that you don't have to deal with that level of detail.
Exactly. And there's a demographic that, yes, does want to see that much, but it's not as big as the people that are just happy using that last bit of their imagination. Mm-hmm. So we're still trying to figure that out right now. And, like, what does 3D porn get you that regular porn doesn't, other than the fact that it's in 3D? We've done some experiments with the Microsoft Kinect and pornography. I actually taught a class on that last year. On how you can use the Kinect with porn to, like, see gestures of masturbation and things like that, use that to control toys. But that's so far down the line as to be just sci-fi, but actually happening at the moment. In terms of just, like, linear movies that are 3D, it'll happen. I mean, and there's going to be some segment that will buy it and it will make a profit, but I don't think it's going to be a completely new market.
Okay. And how do these companies feel? Like, when you mentioned the Kinect, like, how does Microsoft feel about having their stuff opened up and played with in these ways? Do they care? Do they think it's cool?
Oh, geez, that's a whole nother discussion entirely. I was actually on the team that reverse engineered the Kinect. And when we first did that, Microsoft was like, oh, they didn't hack it. They just wrote their own drivers. And then they're like, oh, we meant it to be open. And then after they wrote we meant it to be open press release, that's when I wrote my Kinect with porn release. And they had to write another press release that's like, but you can't use it for porn on the Xbox. So in the end, they know it's going to happen. Like, you release a camera, people are going to fuck in front of it. It just, that's going to happen.
True story.
What they're going to do is say, in our content distribution pipelines, it's not going to happen there. So you aren't going to see it on the Xbox, but it's working on computers, so the end. So they aren't going to lie about it, but they'll do everything to protect their brand and their content distribution, and that's fine.
Fair enough. So what else do you want to make sure that people know about? Things that they either should go check out or they should go try to do themselves? What do we What should we take away today?
Basically, I mean, just the idea that your sex toys are hackable, that you can use them however you want. You can control them however you want. All it takes is someone with a little bit of engineering knowledge, and that someone doesn't have to be you. There's multiple people that I talk to out there that are happy to build this stuff. There's websites like FetLife and Boundana and all of these forums that are, while fairly male-dominated, set up for people doing DIY sex and technology builds, from hardware to software to whatever else. So the information is out there, and if you want to do new and interesting things, you certainly can. Feel free to come to Slash Dong. Find my email address is on there. My Twitter is on there. I'm happy to answer questions, point people in whatever direction they might be interested in. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's just knowing that if you have some interesting idea with sex and technology, it can be done. And more than likely, it probably already has been done twice. It's just getting the news out there and getting people knowledgeable about it.
And aside from Slashdong, you have a couple other sites. So can you tell people about that so they can learn more about all the things that you're into?
There's my personal website, which is nonpolynomial.com. Just search for my name because I don't really want to play it. It's a long name. But, so nonpolynomial.com is the home of Nonpolynomial Labs, which is sort of my own little prototyping, consulting, whatever else company. That's where I hold most of my non-sex personal projects. And there's another initiative that I'm working on called OpenU, which you can find at openu.org. OpenYOU. This is all about taking the same ideas of reverse engineering hardware, but instead of sex, now we're talking about health technologies. So EEGs, pacemakers, pedometers, things like that, kind of once again runs the gamut of really serious medical technology all the way down to consumer stuff. Reverse engineering that stuff and giving people back their data out of it. So say you have a pedometer that will only upload the number of steps you take to a website. We write software that will allow you to get that and just put it on your computer so you don't have to share it with the world or the cloud or whatever you want. So yeah, same basic idea, just going for more medical than sex. And there is overlap between the two, I won't lie. But so that's what I've been doing lately.
Awesome. Well, Kyle Michalis, thank you so much. This has been incredibly informative and very inspiring. I have the DIY bug now.
Very. Oh, great, great.
Now I'm going to go back to school and get an engineering degree. It'll be great. It'll be great.
Okay, talk to you in 4 years.
Yeah, so just need to find some way. Someone will pay off all these student loans, right? Yeah, that's totally going to happen. All right. So, Kyle, thank you so much. This has been super awesome. And I definitely am going to be keeping my eye on your career because this is super fun. So thank you very much for joining us.
Great. Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And have a great day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Please check out more from sexwithtimmery.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimmery@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimmare@gmail.com. And thank you.